Now, when we moved here 7.5 years ago, I came here with cutting edge technology. I had the latest and greatest BlackBerry. Yes. Do y'all remember those? Yes. It was like the top of the top, just cutting edge technology. And I had the new edition that had a color screen. I mean, it's like the next level. It was just like so amazing. And, you know, everybody started enjoying those and everybody wanted to get those. In fact, people got so addicted to the BlackBerry, they called it a crackberry. Crackberry. And then, of course, my next introduction was to the iPod, where you could download music. And then I got converted. And I went from a BlackBerry to an iPhone. And then iPhone goes to the next level and the next level and the next level to where this past Friday, did you know that thousands and thousands of people were willing to sleep in tents in order to get the new iPhone?
Six.
The iPhone
six.
Isn't that amazing? That people are that passionate about the iPhone 6. But here's what it communicates that relates to where we're going this morning in the message. Apple knows how to market their products. They know how to get you excited about what they are excited about. They know how to communicate to you the need to have the latest and greatest technology. And that's why all of you could shout out iPhone 6, because Apple has done a phenomenal job in marketing their product. Let me ask you this question. Will an iPhone 6 transform your life? Can it be a distraction? Can it be a blessing at times? Can it add value to what God's doing in your life? Absolutely. But can it transform your life? And the answer is no. Here's what I want to know. Do we have any information as followers of Jesus Christ that is considered life-changing information? Yes. In other words, are we armed with anything that can transform a life? And the answer is yes. And here's what I want to wrestle with. This is a question that I need you to really tune in with me on. And I need to know who's in the audience. How many of you are sixth graders? Shout out. Okay, seventh grade.
Yes.
Eighth grade. Ninth grade. 12th grade. So are y'all required to sit up front? Is that kind of a requirement to graduate? Okay. What about 11th graders? Oh, yes. What about 10th graders? What about life group teachers? Okay, amp it up one more time. How about life group teachers? Yes. Let's give the life group teachers a big hand. Would you do that? They're awesome. We thank God for them. Now, here's the question. Now, if you have your sermon listening guide, it's in your worship folder. On one side is Element News. On the other is a blank sheet. I want you to get that out. I want you to write this question down. How do we make the God we know known to those we know? How do we make the God we know known to those we know? I want you to wrestle with that concept. How do we make the God we know known to those we know? How do we market God? How do we communicate God? How do we reveal God? How do we make the God we know known to those we know? Now, turn in your Bibles with me or on your smartphones to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Now, I've been pastoring for a long time. I've been preaching since age 16. I'm 45, so 29 years of preaching. And used to, when I would announce a text like Acts 17, it would sound like rain because everybody was turning their pages. Now it's just and you go right to it on your smartphone. Isn't that neat? That's so cool. Acts 17. Now, we're going to pick up in verse 22. And what I'm going to give you are three steps to making the God we know known to those we know. Three steps. I'm going to get you to write down the first one, okay? Let me go ahead and give that to you. I want you to write it down, then we're going to dive into our passage here. Here it is. Build an intentional bridge to them. Build an intentional bridge to them. If we're going to make the God we know known to the people we know, then we must be willing to build an intentional bridge to them. Now we're going to pick up in our Bibles or smartphones, Acts 17, verse 22. When you're there, would you shout amen?
Amen.
If you're still searching, say, I'm on my way. Boy, I love the sixth graders. They're so honest. On my way. Verse 22. You ready? So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, that is Mars Hill, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Now here's the Apostle Paul. Remember, he was radically transformed by the power of God on his way to Damascus. He was a persecutor of the church and became a preacher of the gospel. That tells us that God can change anyone. There's no one beyond the reach of God's grace. So God transforms Saul's life, who becomes Paul. Paul is on missionary journeys. And now Paul is on this missionary journey with Silas and Timothy. They go to Thessalonica, also known as Thessaloniki. And then they went to Berea. And so now Paul decides he's going to go on to Athens. Silas and Timothy stay in Berea. So Paul is now entering this city, and in that day, it was known as a mega city. It was known as a university city. It was known as a standout city, one of the greatest cities in the known world. And as Paul entered that city, he would have noticed major idolatry. He would have seen the Parthenon, this amazing architectural structure that had such intricate detail. He would have been mesmerized by that large structure. He would have been taken by all the different gods, small g, that were present. This city was filled with idolatry. Men like Socrates came out of there, Plato, Aristotle. Two groups were there. We learned earlier in our passage, they had what's called the Epicureans and the Stoics. The Epicureans lived like this: eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. They had no concept of eternal life. They believed when it was over, that there was no life after death. So their key word was indulgence. Have fun. Do all you can and enjoy as much as you can before you die. Epicureanism. That was a philosophy that infiltrated Athens. Then those who would go under those that were known as Stoics, they were more indifferent. They were more aloof. They were more disconnected from culture and very Pharisaical, very judgmental. And their concept was to disengage from culture, to get away from pain, to get away from pleasure. And they thought that was the way to life. Both groups were missing God. And here's what we notice. Paul comes into the city and he acknowledges their idolatry, and he comes up to this idol that says, to an unknown God. Isn't that interesting? Now, here's what we understand. There are three kinds of people. Say that with me. There are three kinds of people. You ready? There are those who are considered an atheist. They believe there is no God. Atheist is no God. They do not believe in the existence of God. And then you have what's called an agnostic. They believe there is a God, but you can't know him. And then we have what is known as Christians. We as Christians believe there is a God. He is a personal God, and you can know him personally and intimately through the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are you? Are you an atheist? Are you an agnostic? Or are you a Christian? So Paul is entering this city of Athens with his spiritual radar up. He is very in tune with the reality of the idolatry of the city. He is spiritually aware. Now I want you to think about your context. I want you to think about your world. I want you to think about your sphere of influence and where you go and where you engage life. What do you encounter? Is it church all the time? Is it camp all the time? Or do you find opposition? Do you find resistance to your faith? Do you find that sometimes you're swimming upstream when others are just going with the flow? What is your current reality? Well, here's what God is teaching us. If we're going to make the God we know known to those we know, we must be willing to build an intentional bridge to where they are. Now look in our text. Let me pick up my little note page here. Look in our text. Here in verse 22, Paul says, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. How did he perceive? Because he was dialed in. He was tuned in. And he acknowledged their acknowledgement of an unknown God. Here's what's really neat. The Greek word for unknown God there is agnostos, from which we get agnostic. Paul built a bridge to where they were. Yesterday, I was having my quiet time, and I have pretty much the same routine every morning. I go to championforce.org, and I look at the devotional that I've written and posted. I read it every day, and then I put it on Twitter. Then I read Oswald Chambers' Utmost for His Highest. Then I go into the Bible, and I read Scripture. Yesterday, in Utmost for His Highest, he had this quote that I want to share with you that really fits where we are in this text, where he says, being a disciple means deliberately identifying yourself with God's interests in other people. Have you ever saw an individual? Have you ever seen an individual and you just immediately judged them? Like really got critical of them? I mean, we all do that, don't we? It's so easy to do. And what Oswald Chambers is saying is, what if we got in touch with God's interests in those people? In other words, what if we began to view other people through the eyes of faith rather than the eyes of flesh? What if we began to view other people as God sees them? Not as they are, but as they could be in Christ. Would that change how you view people? I know it would radically change how I view people. So what's step number two? Say it with me. Build an intentional bridge to them. One more time. Build an intentional bridge to them. Here's step number two. If you're ready for it, say, I'm ready. Bring the gospel to them. Bring the gospel to them. Now notice how Paul, he built a bridge to the culture. Now he's bringing the gospel to them. He's not only spiritually aware of his surroundings and what's going on in the city and the idolatry, but now he's going to bring hope. He's going to bring clarity. He's going to bring the gospel. And I want you to notice what happens. We're going to pick up in verse 23, the second part. Remember, he identified their God, identified as the unknown God. And I love this. What therefore you worship, verse 23, what therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it. In other words, he's saying to them, I'm going to tell you who this unknown God is. I'm going to make known to you who this unknown God is. And he starts with simply letting them know he's creator. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands. In other words, God is self-sufficient, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Now look to your neighbor and see if they're breathing. Look next to you. Are they breathing? Who gave them life and breath? God did. In verse 26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods. In other words, God determined when you would be born and the boundaries of their dwelling place, where you would be born, where you would live, that they should seek God. And I love this next phrase, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. That deals with your heart. You seek him with your mind. Now you're going to move into, I'm going to feel my way toward him. I'm going to be so passionate in my pursuit of God. That's heart. That's being moved with your heart. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own prophets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Look at verse 29. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. So what Paul is saying, as he has built this bridge to them, now he's bringing the gospel to them, saying, this unknown God, I'm going to make known to you. I'm going to proclaim to you. I'm going to unveil the mystery of who God is. He's creator. He's sustainer. He's life giver. He's the one who created you. He's the one who planted you where you are to bloom. God is sovereign. God is ruler. God is in control. And God created you. You're not an accident. You're a divine appointment. You're created by God, and you're created for God. Let me give you three action steps to write down. So you think about your context, your culture. You think about where you go to school. Homeschoolers, you think about where you go to connect with other students, whether it's in sports, whether it's other musical environments or other academic environments. I want you to think about those environments you are able to go to as students to engage the culture. Here's three action steps. I want you to write these down. First of all, shine his light, spread his love, share his life. Shine his light, spread his love, share his life. Have you ever been around an individual who was contagious? Now, the reason Pastor Skipper is not here this morning is because he is contagious. He has fever and he has other manifestations of not feeling well. He's contagious. But what I also love about Jeff Skipper is even though he's contagious because he's sick, I love it that he's contagious because he's on fire for Jesus Christ. And when he walks into any environment, it's going to brighten up because he's bringing the passion and the love of Jesus Christ. And that's true of our entire student staff. When they enter the room, the light of Jesus Christ is shining brightly. Now, here's what I want to ask you. What are you shining? What are you spreading? What are you sharing? When you enter a relationship, when you text, when you, what's the other one? Snapchat. What are you shining? What are you sharing? What are you spreading? What are people seeing in you? Are they being drawn to Christ because of your life, or are they being repelled by your life? What are you doing to make the God you know known? Here's step number three. Not only are we going to build a bridge, we're going to bring the gospel to them, but let's bless them with an opportunity to repent and receive. In other words, we're going to get involved in their lives to the level where we're going to give them an opportunity. We're going to bless them with an opportunity to repent of sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may say, wait a minute, that's warfare. Wait a minute, that's guerrilla warfare. Wait a minute, I don't know if I can do that. Listen, you are a child of God. You were empowered by God. You've been adopted into his family, filled by his spirit. You've been given the name that's above every name. You have a new jersey to wear and a new name to bear. You are now an ambassador for Jesus Christ if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you are. And God wants us to make him known to those we know. So we bless him with an opportunity to repent and receive. Look at verse 30. The times of ignorance God overlooked. Now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Do you know what repent means? It just means to turn and go in a new direction. It means about face. You were marching in this direction, you repent. You do an about face and you go the other direction. Notice what God's word says. He commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. Who's he talking about? Jesus, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now notice how Paul is sharing the gospel. Here's what he does. He talks about God being creator, then he makes a beeline to the cross. He talks about Jesus being resurrected. He is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Later in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. And here Paul is going so public with his faith. Now look at the levels of receptivity, verse 32. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Whenever you share the gospel, when you share your faith, some will mock. Some will make fun of you. They made fun of Paul. Verse 33, so Paul went out from their midst. Others said, we will hear you again about this. But Paul went out from their midst. Some men joined him and believed. So some reject, some receive. Some reject, some accept. But some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. So we are to build a bridge. We're to bring the gospel. And then we're to bless with an opportunity. We need to make God known to those we know. I wanted to give a couple of our students opportunities to come on up. You'll grab that microphone. And they had what we call divine appointments on Sunday night. And so introduce yourself, and then let's hear your testimony.
Yeah, I'm Rick Burgess. I'm one of the faith leaders, and Sunday night we have a blast, and I can't wait to see all your faces there in the future. You know, Pastor Trammell talks about us visiting and sharing the gospel with people that we know. How many of you have siblings? How many of you have relatives that live outside the city of Houston? Are those people that you need to share the gospel with? So you have friends to share the gospel with. Well, there are those that have come to our church that appreciate us visiting them, and that's what we do on Sunday night. I've got Daniel, Abby, and Morgan here, and they're part of our faith teams, and we want to ask them what they experienced last week. It was just a wonderful Sunday night. So, Abby,
yeah.
Why don't you tell us what you saw last Sunday night?
Okay, so I went out with my team, and we went to a boy named Leo's house, and he's in my grade. And so we went to go visit him because he had come the past few weeks, but, you know, we would just wanted to see how he was doing, and he wasn't a member yet, so, you know, just welcome him to the church. And so we went in, and they invited us into his house, and we talked to him, and we asked him questions on, you know, if he enjoyed coming to church, if he enjoyed, you know, his visit with us, and then we asked him some personal questions on his faith and relationship with the Lord, and he had not accepted Christ, and last Sunday night, he accepted Christ.
Excellent. So. Hey, Morgan, tell us what you experienced last Sunday night.
We went to a boy's house that was 14 years old, and my leader, Rick Barrett, shared the faith outline with him, and then asked me to share my life group testimony. And when I was preparing my life group testimony last week, I was like, man, it's going to be so nerve-wracking to share this with somebody that I don't know. But when he asked me to share, I wasn't nervous because, like, I knew the Lord was there and that we were there for a purpose and there was no other place that I should have been at that very moment. And then he accepted Christ and is forever.
His address, his eternal address is changed. Very nice. And Daniel?
All right. So like Abby and Morgan had said, my team and I, led by Mr. Burge, we went out to visit a young man who had visited the church and hadn't shown up for a while. So we went out and visited him, seeing how he was doing and whatnot. So we started out a conversation with him and kind of figured out how he was doing this few weeks and whatnot. And so as we got into the conversation with him, Mr. Burgess shared the faith outline with him and then kind of led him into accepting Jesus Christ. And it was pretty cool.
So my wife and I are 10th grade life group teachers. And at the beginning of the year, we ask all the students, what is one thing you want to know about the Lord? How do you want to get closer to the Lord? And we heard the questions that, you know, we want to learn how to effectively share the gospel. You know, we want to learn how to be in the will of God. And so if you want to be in the will of God, what better way than to follow that last verse in Matthew where Jesus says, go. Share the gospel to all nations. And that's exactly what we did. Thank you very
Good
much.
Job. Let's give them a big hand. Thank you. Isn't that exciting to see your peers sharing their faith? And I'm so proud of our 66 students who are in our faith evangelism on Sunday nights. Now, I want to get you to write down a couple more things before our closing prayer. Here's what I want you to think about in your world. Now, let's get real personal about where you live, what you're experiencing, your reality, okay? And I appreciate Pastor David is so passionate about mobilizing us as a church to be on mission with God and passionate about sharing our faith with other people. Now, here's a question I want you to think about in your world. Who do you know who does not know the God you know? Who do you know that does not know the God you know. Just about a year and a half ago, Pastor David developed the 5-4-3-2-1 concept, and I love this concept, and we have been teaching it and sharing it. Hopefully, you've seen it already. It's five actions for three people to make one disciple. Five actions for three people to make one disciple. And I want to give you those five actions. They all start with I, kind of like iPhone. So this will be an iPhone 5, okay? But there's five actions. Here we go. Identify. And what that means is identify a friend. Identify three people in your sphere of influence who need to know the Lord. Identify them. Then number two, intercede for them. What does intercede mean? Pray for them. So identify them. Maybe write their name down in a journal or on your phone. Type it in. Identify them, intercede for them, and then you invest in the relationship. You build a bridge to them. Just invest in the relationship. Be a friend to them. Encourage them. And then you invite them to church. Invite them to Element. Invite them to a gospel-centered environment. Because one thing we know, in all of our venues, we have 12 venues every Sunday, we preach the gospel. So you identify three. You intercede for them, pray for their soul, pray for their hearts to be tenderized, and you invest in the relationship, then invite them to an environment like this so they can come to know the Lord Jesus. Then you involve them. That is, we want them to serve. We want them to go on mission trips. We want them to go to camp. We want them to be on mission with God just as you are on mission with God. So here's your decision. Will people who know you but don't know God come to know God? Because they know you.